Greetings, programs and users. It is time once again for another episode of Old Nerds Drinking. I am John Patrick, the Master Control Program, coming to you live from the Edit Suite. This is the second half of the last episode that we recorded. This is where we get into our Mandalorian spoiler cast and touch on some of the hurdles that are could be coming from the current writer's strike for the Writers Guild of America. So sit back and enjoy. So I just got an update from my daughter who sent me a text message that they're on the bus for their school trip. And apparently they've separated the boys and the girls. All the boys are on one bus, all the girls are on the other. And they've got the little movie screens on the bus and they're watching Twilight. Wow. And she's like, "Dad, they're making us watch Twilight." I'm like, "Wow, sucks to be you. That movie's awful."
Tell her you're there for her in this difficult time of need.
Oh man. So when that movie first came out, my nephew wanted to go see it, and my sister-in-law was like, can you just take him to go see it? And I didn't know exactly what I was in for. I had never seen the Twilight movies, but I was like, okay, it can't be that bad. And then I had to see it. And it was awful. It was worse than I ever could have imagined.
Yep. Like, written by a Mormon.
Yeah. Oh my God. And to this day, I will sometimes see him. And I'm like, do you realize if you won the lottery and gave me that money, and on top of that, agreed to be my servant for the rest of my life, we still wouldn't be even for me having to drag your 12-year-old ass to the movie theater and paying my money to go see Twilight. Like, the only thing that made, like, I found any enjoyment in that entire movie is the fact that Anna Kendrick's in it. And she's a good person. She's funny. She wasn't funny in that movie because nothing was funny in that movie. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then they made, like, six of them. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
It was a total teen girl high school movie series. That and The Hunger Games, which I actually read most of those books.
I read the first book, and it was awful. I mean, like, I read the book... And I had already read Battle Royale, which is what this, like, no matter what the author says, this is 100% very, very loosely based off of the book Battle Royale. But the main character was just empty. Like, she had no agency of her own. She just exists to be a victim of the story, and there was not a single thought in her head the entire time other than, I am just a victim of this story, and I've just got to do what I need to do to get to the end of this story, because I am a victim of the story. Mm-hmm. And it was...
And they're making a prequel to The Hunger Games. I saw the ad for it today.
So and it's funny. I read the plot synopsis of it, and it's all about who's the old guy?
Snow.
Yeah, I know, but who's the actor who played him?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, God damn. Donald Sutherland. So yeah, okay. It's all about Donald Sutherland's character, who is just a fucking bastard. Like, that is he is the stereotypical authoritarian bastard of the story. And I read a plot synopsis of what the prequel is, and it's like, well, yeah, but there's a reason he's an authoritarian bastard. I'm like, no, you don't write a redemption prequel for Hitler. He's just Hitler. You hate him because he's Hitler. You don't try to... Well, maybe there's a reason he's Hitler. No, he's just Hitler. And that's how I feel about it. And I don't know if it's like the entirety young adult genre. Even when I was a kid, I never read young adult books. I mean, I mean, young adult fiction when I was a kid was pretty much like Babysitter's Club, and like right at the tail end of my young adult was when Goosebumps were starting to happen. But I was never reading that. I was reading like adult fiction. I remember vividly reading Stephen King when I was in like the seventh grade and being extremely fucking creeped out about it. So I don't know. I was reading that, and I was reading like the Star Wars novels. They're the Star Wars, so they're a little campy, but you know, they were still good books. I've gone back and reread some of them, and they're still good books. Oh man, but like, and I just don't get it. I really don't get it. I like the fact that supernatural romance is now a section in the bookstore kind of boggles my mind.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But the supernatural porn book world is awesome.
Oh my god, the Chuck Tingleverse.
Oh no, it's far more than that.
Oh yeah.
Far more.
Yeah. So today is May 14th. We are officially 10 days past May the 4th. And we have been trying for over a week to get everybody together to record a May the 4th podcast where we were going to recap The Mandalorian. But unfortunately, that never happened. Jake and Tom were supposed to be on. Their schedules didn't line up. So now it's just you and me. And it's 10 days after May the 4th. And it's time to recap The Mandalorian, because we just finished season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. Well, where do you want me? Do you want me to go first, or where do you want to start?
Well, what was your, like, broad general take of this season of The Mandalorian?
It was awkward. And I know why it was awkward, but there was a lot of things in this season of The Mandalorian that just didn't make it feel like The Mandalorian. And also coupled with the fact that the last Star Wars show that I watched before The Mandalorian was
Andor.
God. Andor. Why did I forget that? And I loved Andor. It was a slow burn to get into, but once it got going really good. And then when The Mandalorian came on, I was coming off of, as far as Star Wars shows go, I was coming off of Andor and going into The Mandalorian. And The Mandalorian and Andor are both very, very different shows. They're different in the way that, whereas Andor is a much more mature Star Wars, it's the show that grew up that the mature fans wanted, because Mandalorian, even though more often than not very cool, it is still geared towards a younger kind of audience. It is not as mature as the show like Andor was. So I was like, okay, I accepted that. I'm like, okay, I need not to judge it on that, because they're two different kinds of shows. You know, they need to stand on their own merits and be what they were.
Here's how you can tell the difference between Andor and The Mandalorian. In Andor, people died.
Yeah.
And you knew who those people were. Like, you saw prisoners getting shot. You saw Imperial officer, or like Imperial soldiers being shot, but they were not wearing masks. You saw those people getting shot. Mm-hmm. In The Mandalorian, you don't see that. It's the violence is usually geared towards either faceless troopers, droids, or monsters. You don't see just people getting shot. And I think that's the difference, where like The Mandalorian is still kind of to that teen, maybe kid crowd, but Andor exactly. was very much now, towards the adults.
What you just said right there, I want you to put a pin in that, because there's something going on in Marvel that we're going to come back to and talk about in regards to something that you just said about how The Mandalorian works.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we're going to save that for a future episode if we ever have the conversation. But the other thing about The Mandalorian, okay, that was the one thing. Well, I could deal with that, though. So that was already off going back into Mandalorian. But you had, and there's a reason why they did this, and I know what the reason is. I've read articles where they've talked about why this happened. you had these weird disjointed episodes that took place on Coruscant that involved, you know, it was a different, like, Mandalorian takes place way out in the Outer Rim. It was supposed to be a Wild West show. And then you have these episodes where you're dealing with them on Coruscant, big city, totally different environment, stuff like that. It was more like Andor or something along those lines than it was the Mandalorian. And then it would go back to the Mandalorian being at the other side of the galaxy, and it was a jarring contrast, if that makes sense. The reason why that alone made this whole season feel very strange. There was the episode with Lizzo and Jack Black, I believe. Well, I hope I'm getting his name right.
Lizzo, okay. Jack Black, and don't forget Christopher Lloyd.
There was a joke in itself there that somebody, I didn't catch.
Well, yeah, that was the whole joke that it shows Christopher Lloyd in the Back to the Future, and it's like the man in a DeLorean. And then you had Christopher Lloyd, a man in a DeLorean. And then it was Christopher Lloyd in The Mandalorian. The
Mandalorian, yes. But, so, it was also more, like, you could tell that this season of The Mandalorian, they were using this show to do a bunch of stuff to set up more stuff coming in the future of Star Wars, which The Mandalorian has always kind of done anyways, but this season there was a lot more of that. Because from the start, Disney has been very blunt about, yes, this is the show The Mandalorian, but this show is also going to be used to tie in to other shows. Because they want to do with the Star Wars universe what they did with the Marvel universe, which we have Dave Filoni's movie coming in a few years, which is going to be the culmination of all this. They want to do...
Allegedly.
Yeah. So, he's not fucking ostrich. Anyways, Letterkenny fans will get that joke. So, the reason why this season was so weird is because the whole show got canceled with the girl who got fired.
Gina Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her show, she was supposed to have a show, and there was also supposed to be Rangers of the Old Republic. And those shows were also supposed to sell separate stories that advanced this whole giant narrative storyline along. Once those two shows got canceled, they were like, oh boy, we've got a lot of story that we have to fill for this grand overarching storyline that's going to take place. So all of that stuff that happened with Dr. Pershing and all that stuff that happened, all of the weird stuff that just didn't quite fit into the show was supposed to be on one of the other two shows. Like, you also had the scene where you had the X-Wing pilot that was in the bar and Zeb was in there, which I thought was really cool. He was supposed to have the Rangers of the Old Republic show, which they've since canceled. So now they've got these two shows that have certain parts of their story that have to be told for this grand overarching story. So they went back and just kind of redid the whole season of Mandalorian 3 to try to get all of this stuff in there. So when stuff happens down the road, they'll have a springboard reference point to pull from. Because after The Mandalorian, you've got the Ahsoka show coming up. Then you've got the Skeleton Crew show, which they still have been very, very quiet about. Apparently no plans to make a Boba Fett season 2, which I'm not horribly heartbroken about. So they had that was one of the reasons why it was so disjointed and so all over the place, because they had, like, we have to figure out how to fix these stories. And then
should be noted that this season of The Mandalorian was in production when the shit hit the fan at Disney about Disney Plus and the surprise switch of Bob Iger coming back as CEO. The fact that the previous CEO had been hiding how poorly Disney Plus was performing and all the money that was being dumped into Disney Plus content, but was not seeing the revenue generated that it was supposed to. So as much as Gina Carano...
she wasn't the only thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is as much as just her exiting the show, it's also a lot of planned projects had to be cut because they're trying to bring Disney Plus back into profitability. Because as far as Disney is concerned, Disney Plus has been a failed experiment. It is not generating the amount of revenue that they had projected it would. and they're continuing to make content for it when it's not getting a return on the investment for their content. Which is sad, because some of the content they have put out for Disney Plus has been extremely good, but it's like all media. Media exists to make money. It's not to tell a story. It's not to please the fans. It's to make money. And if the fans don't spend money on that content won't get made anymore.
Well, by the same token, if that's the case, if it's being made to make money, then you kind of have to cater to the fans, exactly, or you're not going to make money. And Paramount learned that lesson recently. Well, they learned that lesson with Star Trek, but that's all for another show, with the whole Star Trek Discovery thing. And then all of a sudden Strange New Worlds comes along, but that's different universe, different show. But I do like how the end, though, like they knew, Disney knew that they had a problem on their hands, because you could tell that they were like, okay, this show is really starting to get away from the whole it's a space Western thing about a guy and his kid. Because at the end of it, the way that the show, when the show ends, it's him and his kid, you know, outside of their little cabin. And he establishes, like, hey, I want you to hire me privately under the table so I can teach my kid how to do this and carry on the trade. I need to make money, and you people need help doing what this thing is that you're doing. Because I don't know how much of the show you want to ruin here.
Well, I mean, it's been over for almost a month. So
we probably should have put – you might want to do a spoiler warning thing at the beginning of this. But – so – at the end of The Mandalorian, though, what I liked is he goes on the bar. He's like, hey, I'll help you, because you need a bounty hunter out here. So they brought it back around again, and they brought it back to a space Western with him and his kid going on these adventures, like a space thing. And I like that they did that, because I really thought, I made the prediction, and I was wrong, thankfully, thank God. I made the prediction that they were going to kill off Din Djarin, because the actor's never even there on set anymore. He wasn't like, because the only time he's ever there on set is when he has to take his helmet off. The rest of the time he pre-records all of his dialogue and somebody else is wearing the suit of armor and playing the character. So Pedro Pascal is hardly even there.
I didn't know that. From what I understood, I thought he was still acting as the character of the Mandalorian.
Double check that. Because I'm not going to say you're wrong, and I'm not going to say that I'm 100% right. I from what I have read and understood, but then again, when I talk about these shows and I make my predictions, I talk about this stuff, I fully acknowledge that I could be wrong. And in this situation, I was, and I was thankful about it. But I really thought...
So just as a fun note, I'm the way the internet thinks, I start to search into my search bar, is Pedro Pascal always acting in The Mandalorian? But as soon as I get is Pedro, and then the autocomplete is Pedro Pascal married? So the internet is still just thirst trapping for Daddy Pedro.
Yeah. well, if I'm wrong, if he is there, if he's not there, because he's got so many other things going on now. He's got, you know, the zombie show, which I'm not a zombie fan, so I really don't even know which show. Last of Us, that's what it is. He's got that going on. He's got movies and stuff that he's working on. So, you know, he's kind of tied to Disney at this point to play that character. And whether or not you believe it, there was all the rumors about him being angry because he's always wearing the helmet and, you know, he's not getting the recognition as an actor. I don't know if any of that's true or not. If it is true, he's a little bitch, because everybody in the world knows that Pedro Pascal is the Mandalorian. They have showed him without his helmet on. It's like, we all know.
He is not always in the suit. He is sometimes in the suit. His stunt double is filling in. But the reason he isn't is because he was in rehearsals to do King Lear on Broadway. Which, holy fuck, I would love to see Pedro Pascal in King Lear.
I think that guy could pull it off.
Oh, 100%. Like, I'm a Shakespeare nut to begin with. And like, yeah, dude, I really would like to see his King Lear.
But on the whole, I didn't think The Mandalorian was great, but I didn't think it was that bad. And because of this, it was one of those situations where Disney was like, okay, we need to do something here. And we also have a story that we have to tell, and all of this stuff is going on, and this just happened. So I give him a pass on the things that I didn't like this season. I didn't like. I give him a pass on it because they had to deal with a lot. They had a lot on their plate to make this work, and they still still have the Ahsoka show coming. I know that. Hopefully, it should be good. I know it will be good.
So
if I keep, you know.
All right. So
but that's kind of my opinion on it for the most part. I wasn't entirely happy with it. But I wasn't so upset that I was like, well, I'm done. I'm not going to watch this show anymore. So, you know.
Honestly, I enjoyed the entire season. Even, let's face it, the Lizzo Jack Black episode was filler, but it was fun. And like,
yeah, I didn't mind it.
Like, just seeing Liz, there was a Lisa, one of my partners, Lisa, is a huge Lizzo fan. And I guess after Lizzo was in Star Wars, she's like, does this mean I'm a Star Wars character now? Does this mean I can go to Comic-Con?
Yep.
And while Comic-Con never responded to her, Dragon-Con was like, oh, yeah, honey, we got you. You have your people call our people. We'll get you to Dragon-Con. So it was a fun episode, and it was fun to see Christopher Lloyd in it. It was fun to see Pedro Pascal kicking around some battle droids. But what I really enjoyed about this season of The Mandalorian is it left... I'm usually a person who hates plot hooks left dangling. Mm-hmm. But they touched on so many things in this that there are so many ways that they can branch out from this season. And
yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. You can see that we're planting a lot of seeds here.
Yeah. Like the showing the evil council of Imperial people is like, yes, this is the story that I am actually interested in to see how we got from the fall of the Empire to the New Order. Like that was the biggest disconnect with me in the new Star Wars trilogy was the fact that it's like, okay, you defeated the Empire, you tore down the Empire, and then how 18 years later is there a equally as powerful and well-equipped Empire, like, new bad guy, and, like, just that happened? Like, they built a whole damn... a whole damn, like, galaxy-spanning army and navy, and just nobody noticed that? Nobody was like, hey, there's a lot of vaguely Imperial ships being built. Maybe we should question why that is happening. And, dude, when they showed Pallian, like, Gideon Pallian, like, because I was so deep in the old expanded universe, and like when Timothy Zahn wrote his Thrawn books, and like that Gideon Pallian was his right hand man, like he was his captain, and seeing him there in person was just like, oh my god, I know why that's so relevant.
Well, Timothy Zahn did some advising on this stuff too.
Well, I'm sure, because Thrawn is his baby.
Yes.
So like setting up that we know there's we know it's been in the trailer for Ahsoka. They show Thrawn.
Well, they directly mention heir to the Empire.
Oh,
they
yeah.
say it.
Yeah, it's like just like, hey.
Which I don't know how they do, because there was like that book also involved a lot of Luke's development. That's where he met Mara Jade, and Mara Jade so far hasn't been in the universe. And that Luke never got married as a Jedi or whatever.
No,
but
no.
Anyways.
If they do work Mara Jade in, it will probably not follow any, cause even what they've worked Thrawn in
is
very
yeah.
little of the Thrawn from the old expanded universe is the Thrawn that they show in the in Rebels.
May I sidetrack you for a second, and I will let you get back on course.
Go right ahead.
Okay. There is this woman that you've seen her videos, and I think you probably follow her on TikTok as well as I do. And you've seen her video. She's she's really fit. She's an acrobat, and she does these videos of her like dueling around with a lightsaber and doing flips and all this kind of stuff. She is, and I know there's people out there probably know what I'm talking about. She has red hair, and she she's done all these videos of like her wielding this lightsaber and doing flips and stuff. She's badass. Well, she's also actually in Hollywood as a stunt person. She's worked on the X-Files. She's worked on all these different shows. And she's also done a couple of different movies. Well, recently she posted something. She goes, something big is going on with me in the motion picture industry that is tied with Star Wars. Can't say literally anything more about it. And there's been rumors going around for at least 2 years now about how they've been looking to cast her as Mara Jade because they already know she knows how to use a lightsaber. They already know she's in the film industry. They already know she's done acting roles. They know who this chick is. And everybody across the internet, everywhere for years, has been like, you need to be Mara Jade. You need to be Mara Jade. And that's the big theory, is that they're going to bring her in at some point and she's going to be the character Mara Jade. But nobody knows for sure, but they know she's going to end up in Star Wars. If they didn't use her, it would be criminally absurd and stupid. Anyways, continue on. We're here to continue where you were going. Unless you're looking, trying to find where she's at.
No, no, I'm not. I don't think I follow that person on TikTok. The only female Star Wars type person I follow on TikTok is, I think it's Greta from Imperial HR.
Oh, I love her.
I love her.
Like
just going around and handing out like workplace violations to everybody.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, she's great. So there's that. There is the plot point of the resurgence of the Mandalorian, of the Mandalorians as a people, them retaking Mandalore. The fact that there was a whole ass Imperial facility hidden on Mandalore. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing a good job of showing that the Galactic Republic was built on a foundation of gravel and is slowly unraveling.
It is woefully inept.
Yeah, it's woefully inept. I mean, come on, for God's sakes, they've got Tim Meadows in charge. Mm-hmm. Which was another great cameo to see. The arc of them building up the Darksaber and all the baggage that has come around the Darksaber. And we knew that there was going to have to come down to some kind of confrontation between Din Djarin and Bo-Katan if she wanted to. And the fact that the Children of the Watch really don't have any great attachment to the Darksaber, other than maybe Paz Vizsla. And then you get to like the final scene of the big arc where they're on Mandalore and they're fighting Moff Gideon, and he just destroys the Darksaber. I think is a perfect kind of metaphor about just ending all the old baggage of the Mandalorians and finally trying to move forward with them as a people.
That saber is going to be back, and I know how. But yeah, I thought the same thing.
It's one of like, those things where it's like, I think it'd be cheap if they brought it back. It would be hard for them to bring it back because you would need a Jedi to rebuild it.
That's the thing. That's where I'm getting with this. So In the upcoming Ahsoka show, or it's either Ahsoka or you're going to have to look it up to be certain, because right now I'm having a brain fart. It's either going to be in Ahsoka or it's going to be on Skeleton Crew. Well, who played the Doctor Who before Matt Smith?
David
Tennant is coming. David Tennant voiced a robot in one of the Star Wars cartoons that knew the specs on how to rebuild every lightsaber. It was at the Jedi Temple. That robot escapes. Well, David Tennant is coming back to voice the live action version of that robot. That's either going to be in Ahsoka or it's going to be in Skeleton Crew, but I think it's going to be in Ahsoka.
It's a non-point. It's like, there's no reason to rebuild it. The whole point of the Darksaber was this thing that kind of united the Mandalorian people, but through its destruction, they became united. It's like you saw them at the Great Forge And it was the Children of the Watch. It was Bo-Katan's people. It was the Mandalorian survivors who had been on Mandalore this whole time. And they're all there and they're all together. And it wasn't united under the Darksaber. It was united under them rebuilding the Forge.
And that's where that story is going to continue to go, is the Mandalorians are going to have to question, do we really need this lightsaber to recognize our leadership?
No, that was the whole point of them destroying it. It's like, we don't need it anymore.
But it's such an icon. They're going to bring it back for two reasons. Number one, if you have...
I will bet money right now it's not coming back.
If I'm wrong, I'm totally comfortable with being wrong. But if you have a broken Darksaber, that's not selling toys. Because kids want to buy the Darksaber toy, lightsabers, etc.
Oh, fuck no. Kids don't want to buy the Darksaber.
Oh, Darksaber.
Adults want to buy the Darksaber.
Adults too. Yes,
like,
I'm sorry.
Like when Blacksite Studios came out with their Darksaber, it was not a $20 toy that was selling in the ad or selling at the aisles of Target. It was a $300 collectible that was sold online to adults. The toy, honestly, there haven't been that many toys. Like the big Mandalorian toy was when HasLabs did the Razor Crest, and that wasn't a toy for kids. That was a $350 toy for adults. That was a limited production run.
I argue this vehemently with you. How wrong you are on this. You know how many Baby Yoda toys that Grogu sold? Do you know how many Mandalorian dolls that stuff sold?
Like Baby Yoda. Like Baby Yoda, that shit's out there. But yeah, like, I don't see a lot of Din Djarin, like, action figures.
Oh, I have. I have. Oh, yeah. Especially around Christmas time. The only thing, now I am surprised. I'm surprised they got rid of the Razor Crest. But as soon as they got rid of the Razor Crest, immediately there is the next Mandalorian ship. There's the new toy that they can sell.
And I haven't
seen. There's the new Lego kit they can sell.
Like, so yeah, they Lego kits they do sell, but I have not seen a single toy of the new Mandalorian fighter. In fact, I've only seen one toy of the Razor Crest, and that was like a small little one of those like metal scale.
Matchbox had one.
Yeah.
Well, Matchbox had one, and they also, I believe, they had a Lego kit.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, well,
Lego's its own separate thing, yeah.
These shows make money selling merchandise, T-shirts, whatever, anything. It's a Star Wars commodity product that these shows make. Like the Ahsoka show, when that comes out, you're going to see Ahsoka lightsabers. You're going to see all the stuff associated with that. But anyways, these shows make money. Now, I could go off on a side tangent for something that I'm not 100%, that I don't know is completely true. You know what? I'm not going to. But anyways.
Not going to do it.
No, well, I'm not going to. It has to do with the fact that with Kathleen Kennedy, you know how much my disdain for her is Luke Skywalker and the whole Baby Yoda thing. That they basically, there's debate now because Filoni and the other guy both said, yeah, Grogu was with Luke for 2 years or something like that. And then there's this new book that comes out that's through the Disney press, through Disney, that contradicts what they've been saying. So now there's some debate as to how long Grogu was on that planet with Luke Skywalker. Anyways, there was some kind of a thing that Grogu was actually supposed to be there. He wasn't supposed to come back till a little bit later in the season on The Mandalorian. And Kathleen Kennedy was furious that he was there with Luke, A, because Kathleen Kennedy doesn't like anything old Star Wars. She hates, and she's gone on record as saying this, she doesn't like having to use the old Star Wars stuff because she feels that it makes Star Wars look weak to rely on the old characters and the old storylines.
Which is kind of true. Like, there is a whole lot that can be done with Star Wars that doesn't have to revolve around the Skywalker family.
I agree with that. But with the timeline that this story is taking place, Luke is still around. So they have to kind of plug that hole in some way or another. And I don't mind that they do the Luke Skywalker thing. He's a character. Old Star Wars characters are fine to use, but they should be used sparingly. They should be used much the same way that you had with the recent Star Trek shows. They're not like they should like they the character should be used like go back, you know, hey, I need advice on this or I need this or I need that. That's fine. I don't want to see whole episodes or, you know, maybe if you're going to do a Luke Skywalker show, then fine. Cast the right person. Cast the guy who played Winter Soldier. He's fucking perfect. Anyhow, but Kennedy said she didn't want Grogu with Luke Skywalker because if Grogu wasn't on the show, you can't sell Baby Yoda. You're not going to sell a whole lot of Baby Yoda toys when one of your main characters on the show isn't there. And that was one of the reasons why they kept saying, well, the show is called The Mandalorian. It doesn't necessarily have to be about Din Djarin or whatever, though this season they kind of confirmed that it wasn't. So yeah, that came from, I believe it was Deadline, who's a pretty accurate industry source that when it comes to doing stuff from Star Wars. Anyways, so I don't know if that's true or not, but so yeah, it's going to come back because it's an iconic. They're going to do it just for merchandising and toys alone. And the other thing is, it's such an iconic piece of Star Wars history now. And if it's just a matter of it being broke, it's like, well, it can be fixed. You know, it's not that hard to fix it. You know, I'm sure, you know, it can be fixed. But they're bringing that David Tennant character back to play that robot. And that's, I have a feeling that's how it's going to get fixed. He's going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, blah, 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 built that. I have that on file. Let me fix it for you. And then she'll get the sword back. But at that point, it'll just be there to be cool. It won't necessarily matter. Unless down the road, Grogu still ends up getting that lightsaber. And now I'm done talking.
If anything, I would say Grogu might end up with Yoda's lightsaber.
Realistically, he should make his own. But
yeah, but a lot of times you will see where Padawans get their first lightsaber, and then are, and then eventually will make their own. Because, I mean, that is the same arc we've seen with Anakin. That is the same arc we've seen... Well, no, Anakin made his first lightsaber. But with Luke, he received a lightsaber and then ended up making his own. With Rey, she ended up having a lightsaber and then made her own. So, yeah, those two examples actually sets a precedent.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. Now, to finish up what I was saying earlier, though, because you were bringing up plot points and stuff that they'd set up throughout this whole season, all of those plot points are what the big overall story is going to be. It's all supposed to tie together. All of these little story elements, which are setting up. Okay, because I'm like you. I'm like, where did this First Order come from? Somehow, Palpatine's. Like, there was so many questions of like. Okay, you've got these, the Knights of Ren, which they never ever explained.
Oh my god, yeah, like hey, we've got these guys, and they're really cool costumes, and they're really menacing, and we're gonna call them the Knights of Ren.
And that's it. That's all you're gonna get.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, can we do something with that? Can we learn a little bit about those guys?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's coming as well.
Yeah. So. But it's... Yeah, it's Disney's got to make some moves. I read an article, and it was like from a Google source, so I don't know how reliable it is. That like, apparently Disney Plus is merging with Hulu, which just fucking makes sense. But like, they're gonna have to clean up how both of the services work, because I don't mind paying what I pay currently for Disney Plus, but I'm not paying the $50 a month for Hulu Live if that's what it's going to take to access all the Disney Plus content. Like, fuck that shit. I'll go back to pirating shit.
It's funny you bring all this up, because America, anywhere else in the world, they get Disney and Hulu together. It's a separate thing. And they have Disney Plus, and then they also have Disney 18 Plus, and that's where your Netflix, like the Punisher show, the more grittier stuff is going to go in the Disney 18 Plus, because down the road they've already announced that the Deadpool is going to be rated R. They're coming out with a couple of rated R movie projects, And they're also, that's like Andor, they've announced that they're going to be doing more grittier kinds of Star Wars stuff down the road too.
Well, and fuck is we, one thing we've got to mention is the fact that all of future projects are speculative right now because we're back into a Writers Guild strike.
Yes, correct. Which has actually shut down production on Andor.
It's shut down production on a lot of shit.
Everything.
And it basically was the writers going, hey, we're writing this shit. We would like some residuals so, you know, we can make a living. And also, we would like we would like written confirmation from you that you are not going to try and replace us with AI script writing tools. And Hollywood basically saying, nah, we're going to do what we want, and you better just take the scraps.
Yeah, because it used to be where writers would make a show, and then when it went into syndication or when the show got sold off or whatever, the writers would still continue to make a stipend off of that.
Oh, yeah. Like
now, with the streaming world changed everything.
Well, so if you... a few years ago, there was, well, not a few years ago, I think it was like last year, and we talked about it on the podcast, mm-hmm. was the impending IOTC strike. And it was because when streaming first came on, it was viewed as a separate thing. So when IOTC negotiated contracts with the studio, it was, well, streaming something, but it's not as big of a deal as TV and movies. So can you do that stuff at a lower rate? Because it's going to have lower production values and it's basically not going to be the same thing.
And then Game of Thrones happened.
Well, no. Then Netflix basically decided they were going to be a major studio and do movies and TV shows with the same budget as movie studios and other TV studios. But because IOTC had originally negotiated that they would pay people at a lower rate, the stage hands and production people were being paid a tiny fraction of what they would be paid if it was a regular network TV show or movie.
Yeah.
Well, now that the Writers Guild is running into that same problem where the early streaming shows, which were made on shoestring budgets, the Writers Guild were accepting a lower rate. But now you have streaming shows and streaming movies that are being produced with the same budgets as Hollywood blockbusters, and the writers are not being paid commiserately. And they're like, no, if you're going to make a $500 million budget streaming movie, we want to be paid as if you're making a $500 million movie for a theatrical release. Because you're spending that same amount of money, why can't we be paid the same amount? It's you're only putting it on a streaming platform because you can make it cheaper, pay us less, and that means more profit for you.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman posted the contract sheet from the Writers Guild of like what they asked for and then what the studio counter offered, and there was just so many places where the studio said, we make no counter offer. If you aren't accepting what we offer, then we're not going to negotiate on. And it was things like, hey, can we go back to getting like 5% residuals on TV shows? And the studios are like, no. Hey, can we get a contract from you that you're not going to hire us to write a script or hire us to write an initial treatment for a show and then run it through an AI to generate a script without paying us? And Hollywood said, no, we're going to use whatever tools at our disposal, and that's our prerogative, not yours. So this could be another very long writer's strike. And the meme I see creeping up about this is like, hey kids, if you want to know how bad a writer's strike is, ask your parents about this show. And it's the poster for the TV show Heroes.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that one.
And it's like, oh man, I remember how good the first season of that show was. And then the writer's strike happened, and then it went real bad real fast.
And then they tried to bring it back, and it still failed miserably.
Oh, my God. Like, I watched the miniseries where they brought it back, and it was fucking painful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a thing, and I support the Writers Guilds of America. Those creative people make all the things I love, and I believe they should be paid commiserately to be able to keep making all the things that I love. And if they do that, then I will in turn pay money to see those things, unless studios do dumb shit, and then I will pirate them.
That's what I do with Paramount.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm about ready to drop my HBO Max subscription. Neither one of us can talk tonight.
Apparently not. Must be the alcohol.
Really? Yeah, I'm only on my second can here, but I'm done after this one. But I do that with Paramount, and that's how I watched the full season of Discovery. That's how I watched Strange New Worlds. But we're about ready to drop HBO because, number one, the whole DC thing is just ridiculous. We kept it to finish watching the last season of Titans because Titans was an okay show. But they finished that show properly, and me and the wife look at each other. We're like, do we really even need this right now? Because there's nothing on here we want to watch. When Game of Thrones comes back on, we'll just re-up and do like everybody else does and watch the shows that we want, then we'll cancel the subscription. And she's like, all right, yeah, why? And I'm like, well, I kind of want to get a Paramount subscription for a little while because there's some shows coming up that I want to watch, and I'm just getting kind of tired of pirating everything. You know, I'd actually like there's other stuff on the Paramount network. However, Paramount is also in the same situation where they're hemorrhaging money and not doing very well. This last season of Picard really saved their ass, but in doing so, they created a really bad problem for themselves that they don't know how to get out of right now. But, I'm just kind of like, well, we don't need this network anymore. The content on here we wanted to watch is gone. As long as a streaming service has content that we're going to watch, I'll keep it. Like, there's all kinds of stuff on Netflix that I'll still keep watching, even though they piss me off and they cancel a lot of good shows.
Yeah.
You know, there's still stuff on there.
See, I'm waiting to see. Pretty much right now, the only reason I keep my HBO Max subscription is to watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. But I am waiting to see the content, how it comes, because I think in like a week is when the big merger happens with all the Discovery Plus content.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, and now I can watch Mythbusters on HBO Max, then yes, it is 100% worth the amount of money, because I, like, that's the show I will put on in the background when I just want background noise, is because I can.
That's great.
Yeah.
If there's content, I'm not belittling you for wanting to keep it. If there's content there you want to watch, outstanding. If you have a reason.
But
for there, it.
But there's for actually us, we're like, there's actually a huge lawsuit going on right now over South Park, because HBO Max paid a bunch of money to get the exclusive streaming rights for South Park back from Hulu, and they did that under the, I'm not sure the exact terms of the contract, but it was basically that all new episodes would stream on HBO Max. Well, then somehow they also have a contract with Paramount to be able to stream episodes on Paramount Plus as well. And they signed a contract with Paramount Plus that says they will make new South Park movies for Paramount Plus. And now there's this like multi-million dollar lawsuit going on between HBO Max and South Park. And I'm still not sure the finer points of it, but it's just fun to see.
The streaming wars.
Yeah, we're getting to that, where it's going to be the streaming wars, where it's like all the platforms are going to be fighting against each other. And
I personally think Paramount should just shut it down. And what they should do is they should just make shows to sell to other streaming services, become a provider for those services, mm-hmm. rather than try to have their own. Because like when it first started, we're like, great, we don't have to have a cable bill anymore. We can just have this and watch what we want to watch and have a couple of networks or whatever. Now everybody is trying to do a streaming thing, and it's getting back to a point where you're paying just as much as you were for cable.
Yeah, and that was the thing is, like, when it started out, it was most of the streaming services were maybe like under $10 a month, and it wasn't that bad. But now it's like, okay, Netflix has creeped up to $20 a month. HBO Max is probably going to be creeping up to $20 a month. I think Disney Plus is still like $12.99 a month, but it's like, yeah, it's getting to be now I'm paying $100 a month just to have the couple of streaming services I do.
I would pay more for Disney Plus if they were to go up to like 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
Because,
like, honestly, Disney Plus is the one I'd pay $20 a month for because I get the most value out of it.
Exactly.
But, like, Netflix, I only keep Netflix mainly because my kids watch a bunch of shows on there. And then there's a bunch of stand-up comedy specials on there I like. But originally, it was because they had all these cool historical documentaries. And slowly but surely, all of those have disappeared from Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's some new documentaries on there about cool stuff, but not as much as the old stuff that I liked watching. I'm sure if I went into Netflix or went into HBO Max, I'd find more stuff that I like to watch, but it's just, I don't have a lot of time to sit there and I'm not interested in new shows. And I can't, like, Apple Plus is... So they were originally supposed to be doing a Neuromancer show, but that is, it's like they announced they got the rights to it, and there has not been a single other announcement since they announced they got the rights to it. So that leads me to believe nothing's happening with it.
Apple is another one that I'll BitTorrent, or I say BitTorrent, but that's not actually what I do. There are websites on the internet where you can go to and watch these shows that you're not downloading them. They're just streaming them for you to watch.
Right.
So when I say pirating, that's what I mean by pirating. I'm not actually going out and downloading any of this content. I'm watching it through a third-party service.
Or just, go to a VPN block or VPN scrambler and, like, look at them on another country where they don't...
Yeah, there's ways.
Yeah, there are ways.
Because that's how I watched the new Interview with the Vampire and the new Mayfair Witches shows. Because I'm not going to get Lifetime or AMC. I'm not buying AMC. I'm not going to pay for that because there's not enough content on there. And I'm already paying, as we're talking about right now, another popcorn kernel. As we're talking about now, paying for all these extra services. But it's going to be coming to a head here, especially after this writer strike is, or however long it takes. Because they're not getting content to power these streaming networks. And the only way that these streaming networks are going to survive is they have to make really good content that people want, because people are getting more and more demanding about it. I'll pay for the Paramount Network because there's Beavis and Butthead on there, and the new Beavis and Butthead episodes are really funny. The new Beavis and Butthead show is really good. There's the Star Trek stuff. The Paramount, after with Discovery, that was the show that launched the network, and fans were like, wow, this is kind of sucky. And then Strange New Worlds came along and people loved it, and they were like, okay. So then they did the last season of Picard, and all the old school Star Trek fans came back and said, you know what, this is pretty cool how you guys are doing this. But at the same time, they brought back Seven and they made a couple other characters, and now they were so good in the show that people are demanding hardcore, like even more than they were demanding for Strange New Worlds. They're getting five times the amount of fans and stuff saying, make this show. We want a show with her. We want it to be written this way. We want this show. And Paramount is like, well, we need to give people content that they want. The problem is Paramount already has more shows that are Star Trek that are coming, and they don't have any room on their slate to do another show. So they won't confirm. They said, yes, we've heard you. We understand you want this show. But they won't say anything more about it. And when you look at their production schedule, they're like, we have no place to put this in. We don't have, how are we going to do this? And what freaks me out, where I'm going with this, is you would think with a streaming service, with regular network television, okay, we can put a show here on Friday night. We can put this show here on this night. And then we got to put this at this time slot. We got to move for commercials. Streaming services, you go to what you want to watch the show, you stream that show off of it. You know, like I think Is it Amazon? Who is it where they download, they put the whole season up at one time so you can binge watch all the way through? Is that Netflix? I think it's Netflix.
Netflix kind of started that, but there's other streaming services do the same thing.
It's like, well, if you're a streaming service and people can go to your streaming service and watch whatever content you have whenever they want, it's not like regular TV. I would think, you know what? Sure, let's put three Star Trek shows out, or let's put two Star Wars shows out, or whatever. Now, I know why Disney Plus does it, because they want you tuning in every week. They don't want to put everything up there and then you binge watch it and then cancel it like I'm doing with HBO Max until something new comes out. So I get that. I get the reason why they do that. But, you know, Paramount's trying to do the same thing. Every week they drop another episode of a certain show. And it's like, you're a streaming service. You can do this. You're not bound by the same constraints that regular commercial television is bound by. So they're at a point now where people, they're like, well, we need to keep viewers. People really, really, really want this Star Trek generation show, the next step in the Star Trek timeline, you know, and they're kind of like, what are we going to do? We can't confirm that we are going to do it because we don't have a place to put it in our production schedule, but we can't tell them we're not going to do it because we don't want to piss the fans off. So anyway, I'm going to be real curious when all the dust settles on this writer strike stuff, because people are already starting to jump ships on networks left and right, or else Disney wouldn't be having the problems it's having. Paramount wouldn't be having the problems that it's having. Like, if you're a streaming service and you're Disney and you're offering that good of a value, but you're still having a hard time making money off of your streaming service, and you have that vast of a back catalog plus new material, like, is it because there are so many choices in streaming services now and people just don't have the money for it? Or are people just becoming so arrogant about the shows that we watch now that they're just becoming far more choosy about, you know, what it forces everybody to have to be at the utmost top of their game when they're putting out content? There's not room anymore to have a bad show out there.
Or option three, people just can't afford it and mm-hmm. or don't have the time to watch it.
Yeah. Well, again, that's kind of the cool thing about streaming service, because if you don't have the time, like if you know you're going to be working on Thursday night when The Mandalorian comes out, no big deal. You just go and load it up and watch it the next night on Friday night. So that's not necessarily a constraint. Whereas the old days when cable television, what's playing on HBO tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, you know, or something like that before streaming services, you were kind of locked into, well, the show's on at this time and I'm not going to be able to watch it. I need to set my digital video recorder to record it.
Oh my God. I was just having a conversation with people at work, like talking about when I was in high school and like having to learn the arcane art of programming a VCR.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if your VCR didn't record Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you missed that episode and you missed that part of the story. And it wasn't until the entire season was done that you'd be able to catch a rerun to watch it. And so, yeah, you were fucked.
Yeah, so nowadays with streaming services, though, I just go watch it, you know, when I have the time to watch it. And the other cool thing about streaming services, you can really cater what you, like, if you're, like me, me and you are both nerds. So, of course, I'm really partial to Disney, and I'm getting more partial to Paramount because it's Star Trek and Star Wars. I love both shows equally. Different shows, apples and oranges, but I love them both equally. So when someone tries to drag me into the, are you a Star Wars or Star Trek fan? I like them both. If I had to choose, I would probably go more Star Wars, but I still love my Star Trek. So, you know, I can custom tune my viewing experience by the channels that I subscribe to and stuff. And that brought us back to HBO. We're like, there's really nothing on here that we're interested in right now. Let's just nix this service and then we'll wait till Strange New Worlds comes, you know, the next season starts, and then I'll subscribe to, Paramount for a little while. And the wife kind of thought about it and she goes, all right, yeah. And I said, I'm going to get rid of this and I want to get rid of that. We'll just swap the two out, you know, and then when we're done with that, we'll cancel it. And when HBO Max comes back out with new stuff that we want to watch, like the new Game of Thrones or something, then we'll watch that. Amazon, I already have Amazon Prime anyways. I use it for shopping. So that's the cool thing about Amazon Prime. Like, oh, you're already a member? Well, here's our network too. So you get to save money on shipping and watch these shows. So Amazon Prime is neat because it's dual purpose. But
Yeah, I was going to say, I pay more for Amazon Prime to get the free 2-day shipping than I do for the content. I barely watch anything on Amazon Prime.
There is some cool stuff on there if you do a little. Well, Cinema La Bad, I get a lot of my bad movies from Amazon Prime. They're just streaming on there. And I don't know how many movies we've watched off of that. There's some cool shows. There's some cool reruns and stuff on there. But I'm not really paying for it. I'm like you. I'm paying for the shipping and the stuff like that. Getting the Amazon channel is kind of just a little bit of a bonus perk for me. If there's nothing on there, I'm like, you know what? I really don't rely on it anyways. But with the whole, when we started doing the whole B-movie thing, I was like, wait a minute. There's a treasure trove of hidden shit on here. There's all kinds of cool documentaries. Like, there's some cool stuff on Amazon if you do some digging. You got to put the footwork in, though.
Right.
So, well, anyways, I'm just curious to see where the streaming wars are going to go.
Yeah, the streaming. Well, curious to see where the streaming wars and the writer strike is going to go. I think that's going to be the big deciding factor.
Yeah.
And like that is really going to fuck. Like first we had COVID, and then we had the possibility of the IATSE strike, and now we have the reality of a writer strike. That could be a big problem for studios. But I think this is a good place to wrap it up for the night. Rojan, what do you got going on in your world?
Pretty much. I'm still trying to get the main computer up and running again. Try to get some more episodes of my show recorded. I honestly don't know when that's going to happen. Outside of that, we started up doing Cinema La Backyard Fire, where the Facebook group, I now, when it's nice out, we'll build a little fire pit. You were there for one of them. You watched part of Mad Heidi, and what was the movie that we watched with us?
Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
I introduced you to your first Andy Sidaris film. Huge fan of Andy Sidaris. Everybody on the Cinema La Bad page knows about it. And then this week earlier, we watched a couple of Godfrey Ho martial art movies with Banjo Jones, me at the fireside. And then my buddy came over on Friday night, kind of late, but we watched the remake, the 2013 remake of Evil Dead, which I am super surprised how much better that movie was than I thought it was going to be. I was like, man, I really don't want to watch this. But you know what? Fuck it. We got the screen set up. The fire's going. It's B-movie night. Let's throw it in. And I don't know if you've seen the Evil Dead 2013 remake, but it's really good.
I'm not as much of a fan of Evil Dead as I am Army of Darkness. Honestly, like Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 were always kind of meh. I liked Army of Darkness because it was like just the over the top, like complete big budget. Like, let's just see how crazy we can go with it. Finale. But I definitely have some recommendations. I mean, have you watched Samurai Cop?
Oh yeah, one and two.
Okay, yeah. Because
are you fucking with me? We're gonna watch that again.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was gonna say we gotta watch Samurai Cop, which I've never seen the movie without the Riff Trax and or MST3K version of it.
It's on the list.
We're
gonna do that. That's a for certain, sure, absolute positive. And we even though it's terrible in a bad way, we might even watch Samurai Cop too. We could do a double feature one night if we plan it.
We absolutely have to watch Space Mutiny.
I don't know if I could do that to myself again.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna have to watch Space Mutiny.
Okay.
Blast hard cheese.
We could do that. Yes. Yes.
And that's the thing is like trying to find Space Mutiny that isn't the MST3K version of Space Mutiny.
I wouldn't mind watching the one that me and you went to with
the Riff Trax one. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind watching that version of it again, just because of the fact that me and you went and saw that live and to be able to recreate that experience in the backyard. Cause now where I was going with this and then I'll call it a night is, now that I'm doing it in my backyard and not with my buddies online, it's kind of a different experience because I'm introducing all these guys to all these bad movies and being like, yeah, this is why we watch these. It's because of this. It's because of that.
We still got to find a tit bell.
Oh, yeah. We need one of those little metal bells for booze.
Ding.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's going to be coming pretty soon. So anyways, yeah, pretty much the Cinema La Bad Page is where it's at right now. Old Nerds Drinking, of course, Project Archivist. I'm active on the Facebook group, even though I haven't been doing any shows. I do still like to post some strange stuff on there every once in a while. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And it's trying to keep from getting sick every week.
All right. And you always can find us at the Old Nerds Drinking Facebook page. Come for the podcast, stay for the memes. I am John Patrick, the Master Control Program.
Oh, this is Rojan. Peace out.
Peace out.
End of line.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now.
So, what's the plan?
Take car, go to Mum's, kill Phil,
sorry,
grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
Might as well write them off.
Let's close up the bridge. Let's get out of here. Close it up, lights out.
Where are you headed, cowboy?
Nowhere special.
Nowhere special. I always wanted to go there.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
All right, move on! Nothing to see here! Please disperse! Nothing to see here, please!
Greetings, programs and users. It is time once again for another episode of Old Nerds Drinking. I am John Patrick, the Master Control Program, coming to you live from the edit suite. This is the second half of the last episode that we recorded. This is where we get into our Mandalorian spoiler cast and touch on some of the hurdles that could be coming from the current writer's strike for the Writers Guild of America. So sit back and enjoy.